This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of this show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. It has been nearly 4 years since the horrific massacre of 20 children and 6 educators took place at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Since then, there has continued to be a steady stream of gun violence and even mass shootings. Now, a powerful new documentary about Sandy Hook explores the aftermath of grief that touched the entire town and asks all Americans to face the question of how we can tolerate such violence. Newtown, directed and produced by Kim A. Snyder, features the quiet and heartbreaking loss of parents, teachers, and emergency responders that stemmed from that tragic day on December 14, 2012, when a gunman brandishing an AR-15 rifle entered the Connecticut Elementary School and took so many lives. Kim A. Snyder is an award-winning filmmaker. She's the director and producer of the film Newtown. She now joins me on the program. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
So I understand this has been a long journey for you making this film. It's not something that you just came into. I can imagine that it would have taken you a long time to even just develop the relationships with those people who were touched by such unimaginable tragedy. What led you to wanting to explore this very difficult subject?
Well, it began about 4 weeks after the tragedy. I never imagined that I'd be spending the following 3.5 years immersed in this. But some folks I had worked with in the past gave me a call and asked me if I would go up to Newtown in the wake of that tragedy and to explore some short form material. And I honestly was extremely reluctant to do that. I don't come from news, and there were just so many cameras there, and it was such a horrible big story that I was honestly squeamish about clamoring in any way for, and so I was put in touch those early days, first with the parish priest, who had buried 8 of those 20 children. And I was immediately fond of him and felt enormous empathy for the palpable trauma that he was experiencing as a human being, in addition to being tasked with shouldering so much collective grief. And so the idea of collective grief really started in those early days, and it was many, many months later of being in that town and spending time with different leaders that I started to build trust with some of the families that eventually participated and others, and come up with this kind of vision for a story of a more holistic story of an entire, really redefining victim as entire community.
Right. The grief of the parents who lost their children is featured alongside the grief of the emergency responder who was with the child in the last moments. And we sort of forget that even those folks who may not have ever known that child up until that moment also experience something that they are scarred by for life, which I thought was a very powerful part of your documentary. Now, what was, there's this sort of careful balance, of course, when you have such a horrific thing happen to a town where there are people whose instinct is to just close in, shut everyone out, and try to make sense of life, but then also realize that they do have to tell their stories, because otherwise that violence, which can be multiplied so many times, is invisible. So can you talk about how that balance between the need for privacy but the need to tell the stories had to be kind of navigated?
Sure, it's a great question. That was true for all of the people who participated in the film, as well as myself. As I started to become one in a way with those people in the community. But it was very much a collaborative process of exploring. Early on, we would have very deep conversations about why is this story important to tell. And of course, it had been told in short form news in the way that it can best be done. I don't think anyone faulted the news cycle in particular. It is what it is. But I think as we had conversations where I had to educate a bit about what long-form documentary is capable of doing over time, and that that story really hadn't been told. We, I think, collectively felt that this warranted bearing witness with the hope that there would be it would be of higher service to the world at large, but also in their process of understanding. So those early conversations were why, you know, why should why, but even not even more interestingly, but also whose story is it to tell? And I had really interesting conversations with, as you know, there aren't many experts in the film, but I had a lot of conversations off camera with experts. And some of those trauma experts, one of the very wise ones, you know, talked a lot about existential trauma, trauma that at the same time affects these very personal people like the parents in the film, as well as this ripple effect of so many people in Newtown, beyond Newtown, in Connecticut, across the country. So it was a very careful conversation about towing a line between what was bearing witness and important and respectful to do so, and what was and making sure that we didn't go anywhere near a line of what felt might feel sensationalist or prurient.
I want to play an excerpt of the trailer of the documentary Newtown for our audience. This is, of course, the documentary that is covering what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School, a mass shooting that shocked the country. Here is the trailer. When we come back, we will tell you where and how you can catch the film.
John, 911, what's the location of your emergency?
Sandy Hook Elementary School.
What's going on down there?
I believe there's shooting.
The reports we're getting from law enforcement is that of the 26 dead, most are children.
I don't think that any of us that were in there feel that anybody needs to know specifically what we saw. Emotionally, the world needs to know. To understand it.
Come on, Daddy!
I didn't want to take the clothes out of his drawer. I still have a little secrets stashed around.
I still keep expecting Dylan to be there. Am I just dreaming all of this?
It's just awkward when you walk around town and you see the faces that you see on TV of the parents. What's the social norm for that?
There is an immediate human desire to protect the rest of the world from having to go through this.
The liberty of any person to own a military-style assault weapon is second to the right of my son to his life.
The whole community has been victimized, but we're not going to let the darkness overwhelm us.
And that is an excerpt from the trailer of the documentary Newtown. And my guest is the film's director and producer, Kim A. Snyder. Kim, the film has won many accolades and been recognized at Sundance. It's gotten rave reviews. I have to say, when I watched the film, it was really, really hard to watch. I was crying throughout, and I was sort of torn between this, you know, feeling of I don't want to watch this, especially as a parent myself, but also I do want to watch this because I really want everybody in the country to watch this and take some action. What is your goal for this film? Clearly, you know, this isn't a feel-good film. It's not a film that you can, I mean, you could in never in no way could this sort of be a lighthearted view of something so horrific. How do you make the case for why people should watch this film? Because it's really difficult to watch.
Yes. Well, thanks for your honesty in sharing those sentiments. I think that they're very true. And we do tell people, you know, one of our asks is you know, to tell people not to be afraid, to see it, because we think it is that important. We often, you know, in many ways, the film is lending voice to, as I said, a very collaborative sentiment with those who participated in Newtown, to say that it was a watershed moment. It was a horrific historic moment. And they travel. Since Sundance, many of them have traveled with us as a small, a group of, I was going to say army, but you hate using any any militaristic terms when it comes to Newtown. And Mark Barden will be the first person to say to audiences right away when the lights come up and people are generally very emotionally stirred.
He's one of the fathers.
Yes, thank you. He will say, first and foremost, thank you for coming. Thank you for seeing this, because I do think from a lot of people who've come, there is, hopefully you felt this, some sense of hope and uplift in just watching the strength and resilience of what people and a community is capable of doing in the unthinkable, in the wake of the unthinkable. But I think the film ultimately, I'm not a believer in getting people to do things out of guilting them, like everyone should see this, especially if you have a child. And I think there is reward in the depth of what they are able to share, hopefully in the film itself, and in the journey of moving through it. We hope people take away from it a sense of purpose to do something with this, to change things, because one of my main goals was to bear witness and to break through a growing desensitization, which feels dangerous as these things happen more and more, but none of us can help that numbness because the news cycle is, it just keeps marching on, and, right. And it's possible to take this in. So we want, we see the film as movement. We see as a movement. We see, we are hopeful that there is a tipping point. We see that, when people come and are demoralized and say nothing has changed since Sandy Hook, we all say that we see the conversations changing. And one of the things the film does is through showing these different constituents, these different faces that are really in every town in America, the policeman and the teacher and the priest and all of these different people that make up our communities, we see the conversations changing in those communities. We see the AMA, as a very conservative organization, coming forth for the first time as Dr. Bill Begg, who is the emergency room doctor who was there that day, saying that they have come forth and said this is a public health crisis. So what we want to do is open the dialogue and take this out of this terribly politically polarized place, because as many people who've written about the film have said, it should not be a political issue. 9 children a day dying at the hands of a gun that is so far off from anywhere on this planet in terms of statistics should be a humanitarian issue, not a political one.
Where can people watch the film? Tell us about the screenings that are taking place around the country in early November, and then also I understand it will be featured on PBS.
Yes. So in short, we premiered last week in New York City. It continues to play at Lincoln Plaza there. We also are opening tonight at the Monica Film Center here in L.A., I hope people come out this weekend. We will be there to do Q&As with some interesting guests, including our incredible composer. There's a whole great story behind the score that we're very proud of, and a collective of LA composers, well-known composers, who all contributed to make the score. And then and also we'll be joined by Richard Martinez tomorrow night, who is the gentleman from Santa Barbara who lost his son in that horrible shooting. And then on November 2nd, we will have sort of an unprecedented thing for a small documentary. I say small, but in the documentary space, we will screen in almost 500 big movie theaters throughout the country as an event on November 2nd through something called Fathom Events. And you can go to our website, newtownfilm.com, or directly to Fathom. And it will be followed by a live town hall conversation that will open up dialogue around this. And that will instigate hundreds of community screenings we're encouraging for people to have their own town hall conversations and dialogue around the issue of gun violence So that you can sign up for on our website, and it will be followed by airing on Independent Lens in early 2017.
So lots of ways to watch the film. That film website again is newtownfilm.org, .com rather. Finally, Kim, in terms of the kinds of the sort of difficulty that you might have had in getting people to talk to you, obviously, I mean, 20 children died. You couldn't feature all the parents and everybody who was involved. Did you, you know, what sort of stories are there and how you approached parents in particular and parents being open to you? Were there people that you encountered who simply said, I just can't talk about this. I just don't want to talk about it right now, and pushed you away? Were there others who said, I really want to, I'm eager to discuss this?
It happened in a very organic, very personal and private way. I had no lists per se. I didn't cold call people. I didn't see myself as the official, you know, documentarian of Newtown. I took a journey that took me from one fate, interconnected fate, to another. And so early on when I met, I think first it was Mark, we had many off-camera conversations and exploring what, and I started to say earlier, a lot of these conversations was whose story is this to tell? And in that sense, it was never a film just about the families, because as you said, there's so many, but it was really about redefining victim as an entire community that would represent a whole number of views. And so,
I should say, you also have siblings of those children who were killed, you know, some of them who were in the school as well and survived.
That's right. That's right. And so it's, it was, you know, a very intimate and careful process that was private and quiet. And when I was interested in lifting up some of the stories of survivor guilt, of how these people would navigate this impossible social terrain of a community, of reconnecting and having the most difficult conversations of people who got their children back by sheer fate that day, and then those who didn't. So one would lead to another. And over three times that Mark would mention his neighbor that they were so close to, there would be eventually, well, do you think that would be meaningful for her to speak? And he would reach out and say, I think she would like to talk to you. So I really never, ever had the position where I would call and someone would say, no, thank you. It just wasn't approached that way. It was so organic. It was really important to me that everyone who participated did so completely, not only voluntarily, but with a sense that they that this might be cathartic for them and of service to their own their own process.
Right. Well, sounds like a wonderful model for filmmaking around issues that are this difficult and steeped in so much grief, but also that are so important to watch because, of course, as you mentioned, there has, practically speaking, the journey is still very much in the beginning in terms of curbing gun violence, as we see in the film, the frustration of the parents who testify and only to see lawmakers, you know, just sidestep that grief and kowtow to the NRA. So that journey still continues, and certainly the film seems to be a great tool for those who want to do something about this issue. Kim, good luck to you. Thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest is Kim A. Snyder, award-winning filmmaker. She's the director and producer of the film Newtown. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.